Civil family hearings do allow people to represent themselves, and yes, that can mean that a victim of domestic violence could be questioned directly by a perpetrator. Let's talk to Polly Neat, the chief executive of Women's Aid, and Elspeth Thompson, a family solicitor and managing partner at David Grace Solicitors in Newcastle. Polly, first of all, this is still happening. Why do you think it's still allowed to happen?
I think the reason it happens is because professionals in the family court and in the main judges actually don't understand what's going on in domestic abuse. So they don't understand that domestic abuse very commonly, in fact, routinely, continues after separation. So if the last violent incident was a few months ago and the couple have separated, they just don't see that as potentially an abusive situation. They don't understand the impact of domestic abuse on children. They don't understand coercive control. And actually what we're talking about, this behaviour by perpetrators, is coercive control. And it's really a lack of understanding, I think, on the part of many judges, and that's why they allow it.
But a lack of understanding from judges who sit in family courts. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's appalling, actually, that the level of understanding is so weak. I mean, having said that, there are, of course, brilliant judges, and there are, of course, examples where this doesn't happen. But actually, all that goes to show to me is that it's perfectly straightforward for a judge not to allow this if he or she doesn't want to. So, you know, it has to stop. And we found when you actually talk to judges and or some solicitors, they often say, oh, it's incredibly uncommon. It hardly ever happens. But we found one in four survivors of domestic abuse with experience of the family courts had been directly questioned by the perpetrator. That's not hardly ever happened.
No, that's a quarter.
Yeah.
OK, but why is it that people are representing themselves more and more?
Well, that's partly due to legal aid cuts, of course. So a lot of the time, neither the perpetrator nor indeed the survivor have any choice. They just aren't eligible for legal aid. And that is still sometimes the case for survivors of domestic abuse. But it's also true to say that perpetrators can quite often choose to represent themselves in order to be able to have a go at their former partner.
Elspeth, do you see this happening?
Yes, it does happen. I've seen it personally. And I think one of the problems is that there aren't the same powers in the family courts that there are in the criminal courts. In the criminal courts, there is the power for the court to appoint an advocate to cross-examine a witness if they feel that otherwise the quality of their evidence would be diminished. So that's typically used where you have a survivor of domestic violence potentially being cross-examined by their abuser. And in that case, the court steps in and gets a solicitor or a barrister from somewhere else, pays them out of court funds, and that's the situation taken care of. It doesn't happen in the family courts. There's not the same power.
It does seem incredible, bearing in mind the passion in this statement we've got here from Sir James Munby, who says, his spokesperson says, yes, he has made clear that the family justice system lags woefully behind the criminal justice system. He's expressed particular concern about the fact that alleged perpetrators are able to cross-examine alleged victims, something that, as family judges have been pointing out for many years, would not be permitted in a criminal court, as you say.
Exactly.
He goes on, reform is required as a matter of priority. The president would welcome a bar, but the judiciary cannot provide this. It requires primary legislation. This would involve public expenditure. It is therefore a matter for ministers. So effectively, he's saying, I'm completely against this. It has to stop. Over to you in the government. Why don't things change, Elspeth?
I assume it's just money. Ever since we brought in the cuts that came with the 2012 legal aid changes, the courts have been underfunded in so many ways. There aren't adequate waiting rooms. Legal aid has gone for so many cases. I assume it's just a matter of money, and this must be something that the government doesn't prioritise.
Well, Polly, let me just complete the statement. I hope you don't mind. But the president is currently considering the review of practice direction 12J undertaken by Mr. Justice Cobb, who met with Women's Aid during the course of this review. His review. The president expects to make decisions on the review early in the new year. Bring us up to speed a bit, Polly, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What is Practice Direction 12J?
So that is the guidance that judges are supposed to follow in cases in the family court where there is domestic abuse or an allegation of domestic abuse. What we've found is that those guidelines are very often not followed, partly because, as I said already, the judge may not have a sufficient understanding of domestic abuse to classify a case as needing to apply practice direction 12J. So they may think, oh, you know, he only hit you 18 months ago and you don't live together now, blah, blah, all of this sort of thing. So that's what practice direction 12J is. And it's absolutely right. We have been working with Justice Cobb on the review. And Sir James Mumby is right that actually barring the cross-examination by perpetrators of victims is a matter for government. But also, that's a fantastically strong statement from Sir James. I would love it if he would just, in equally strongly worded terms, communicate with all the judges and just say to them, stop this from happening.
It is awkward, Elspeth, because we do hear continually, some of the papers particularly make an issue of this, the secrecy of the family courts. But it's hard for many of us to understand how they could be made any more open without causing potentially real harm to various parties involved. What do you think?
I think you've put your finger on a real tension there. On the one hand, I don't want to be part of a secret court system, and I think it's important that it's open to scrutiny and people understand what happens in the family court. On the other hand, you're talking about incredibly sensitive and private information for children and adults going through the system, information that they wouldn't want publicly broadcast. And especially for children, they don't want things out there now and in the future on the internet. So how you balance the need to keep things open and vulnerable to scrutiny against looking after people's privacy, it's a really difficult balance.
Do you see any way forward here, Polly?
I think the government does need to institute a bar on this direct questioning, but I also think...
But what about the secrecy element?
I totally agree with what Elspeth said. I mean, when I used to work a lot with children and young people, and when children and young people who've been involved, who are in care, for example, are asked whether they would like the family courts to be open, they absolutely say no, and I think that has to be respected. I think there is a really important role for organisations like Women's Aid that speak on behalf of survivors. There's an important role for us speaking out and other charities as well. So I think, you know, that there is an accountability issue, but I don't think the solution to it is opening up the family courts. And actually, I would be worried, as well as the issue about children and young people, which is the main thing, I would also be worried about providing a greater level of kind of publicity and theatre within which perpetrators could exercise their control and humiliate their victim. I actually think that could be quite damaging as well.
We also hear, Elspeth, quite persistently, that the family courts are heavily weighted in favour of women and mothers. I mean, do you believe that is in any way true?
That's not my experience, and when you actually get research projects looking at it, it's not borne out by the research either. The starting point for the courts is that the welfare of the child comes first, and often that means that children should have a good relationship with both parents. The presumption is that that is the case unless their safety demands otherwise. So the starting point is that children should grow up knowing both parents, and it's not my experience that it is biased against men, no.
Well, Polly alluded to the legal aid cuts. What's your experience of them and their impact on the family courts?
Oh, it's been impossibly difficult since the legal aid cuts came in. Organisations warned the government in advance of the potential repercussions, and it's really sad to see that we weren't just being doom-mongers. It's come to pass. People having to represent themselves in situations which mean that their cases aren't put properly, they're placed under huge amounts of stress, and the system's just creaking at the joints. It's under so much strain.
And yet, I've got a statement here from the Ministry of Justice who say they spent last year in excess of £1.5 billion on legal aid.
That's not on family legal aid, that's on the whole system.
And so, this area of the law definitely has taken a bashing as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
Polly?
Absolutely. There's no question of that. And it's still, despite the fact that the government have made concessions, and of course we're grateful to that for that, but it's still the case that many survivors of domestic abuse cannot get legal aid, and that just cannot be right.
Just going further down that Ministry of Justice statement, I ought to point out actually that they say they invested 1.45 million this year in a strategy to increase support to litigants in person, led by the advice, voluntary and pro bono sectors. So that would take into account those people affected by domestic violence, Polly. I mean, that nearly one and a half million quid is not an enormous amount of money, but it's not nothing either.
Well, I'd love to have a meeting with the MOJ about the experience of victims of domestic violence in the family courts and what could be done to improve it with a bit of that money, yeah.
Polly, thank you very much. Elspeth, good to talk to you. Happy New Year to you both. Thank you very much for being here. And thanks for your tweets on this. Keep them coming at BBC Woman's Hour. I know that many of you, judging by our Twitter feed, have had experience of the system.